Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are well into our current sermon series called The First Followers. And throughout this series, we are looking through the book of Acts, how the first followers of Christ lived, how they spread the good news of Jesus Christ, the persecution that they went through, and how the first church functioned. So this week, we're going to be resuming the journey of the first followers. And so let's turn to Acts 6. It'll be verses 8 through 15. Acts 6, 8 through 15 from the front. I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using, we have some in the rows and a stack there in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to go ahead and read Acts 6, 8 through 15. It says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, the Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom of the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, 'We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, 'This fellow never stopped speaking against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us.' All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel." So here we have this man, Stephen. He's one of the ones we talked about last week. He's in that group of seven men that stepped up to serve. He was just a guy that was trying to follow Jesus with his life. People saw that he was this awesome guy filled with the Holy Spirit, and they said, "Hey, we want you to help us out. Can you serve the church?" So he's voted into this position, and obviously he takes it seriously, because what we're reading here is we start off with Stephen is a man full of God's grace and power. And it says that Stephen is doing more than just handing out food. He is working with the people. He is helping the church, and God is using him in a lot of awesome ways. He's now performing great wonders and signs among the people. Now, there is some debate about what that means, that he was performing great wonders and signs. Some say it was he was out there healing, and some people say he was living his life in step with the Spirit. And so you could see Galatians that we talked about, the love, joy, peace, all of those things. So it's one of those things that we're looking at. In all honesty, not the important part here. What's important is to know people see that God is working through Stephen. They see that Stephen has stepped up and said, "Yes, I will follow God with my life." And now he's being this beacon of light and truth. And as we know, at this time of the first church, people do not like it when people are living for Jesus. And when they're being the light and the truth in the dark world, that's when they really start to hate you. And again, we see that the Jews are angry. They're so mad at what Stephen is doing. And it says that they started to argue with Stephen. And what's amazing is verse 10, these educated men, these men that have dedicated their lives to studying God's word, to teach God's law, they are the ones to keep the law amongst the people. It says that they could not stand up against the wisdom that Stephen spoke. And we have to understand, why is that? Why was this happening? And it wasn't because that Stephen was just so smart, right? We're not like, well, Stephen's a genius, So that's definitely why. It's not that he went for his degree and he studied for years and years and really wanted to know the Word of God there. That's not what happened. It's not even about his experience in talking to others about Jesus, because this is all new. He's a convert to Christianity, and he's just going out there and living his life and saying, this is what's true and I know it. And we know it hasn't been that long. It says, though, what was actually going on is the Holy Spirit was giving him the wisdom, giving him the words, leading him. The Holy Spirit was inside of Stephen. Now, we need to stop here for a second, because I need every single person to listen to this. Whether you're sitting here in person, whether this is online live or a video later, if you're listening on the radio, I just want you to hear one thing, and this is the most important thing. This is the same Holy Spirit, the same God that we have today. And if you are a follower of Christ, you have the exact same Holy Spirit living inside of you. When you say you can't do something that God is calling you to do, when you say that you are not strong enough, when you say that you do not know enough, when you say that you do not have the right words, I'm going to tell you that is okay, because you have the one that is with you that makes you strong. You have the one living inside of you that will lead you in the right direction. You have the one who knows everything, and he will give you the knowledge. You also have the one that will give you the right words to say if you follow him. We have to stop making excuses that we're not good enough, because it has nothing to do with whether you are good enough, because God is good enough. The Holy Spirit is good enough. We are all just like Stephen. You can step up and serve. You can live in step with the Spirit and show everybody about how God is so good. And when you do, that's when you will change the world in the name of God, if you allow him to lead in your life. So I actually named this specific sermon, I called it, I Am Stephen. Okay, and it's because it reminds me of Spartacus. So if you don't know who Spartacus is, he was a slave that rebelled against Rome. He inspired others to stand up for what is right. They were going to fight the good fight. And when they asked, who is this Spartacus? The people were so inspired by him, one by one, they would step up and say, I am Spartacus. Well, here, as followers of Christ, we should be inspired and we should step forward and say, I am Stephen. I have God in me. I have God with me, and I can be the example for Jesus in this world. So then we get back to Stephen. So what can you do when you can't win a debate or argument or talk? We usually want to step it up and say, well, I can't lose this argument. And that's how the Jews felt. And so they're like, all right, well, we got to do something, because this guy, he seems to know his stuff. He's talking circles around us. We can't refute what he's saying. I know what we should do. We'll get people to lie about this person. And that's what we see in verse 11. They persuaded some men to lie about Stephen, saying that he's speaking lies about Moses, lies about God, that he is blaspheming. And if you know anything about that word, it's not good. You do not want that attached to your name. If they call you this, the blasphemer, that's a very bad thing. And so they're like, you know what? We're going to just make it the worst of the worst. And they start stirring up the people. They get the elders, the teachers of the law, and they're all going in against Stephen. They're definitely telling everybody, can you believe this guy? This Stephen guy, what he's saying about this Jesus of Nazareth, that he's going to destroy what Moses has got from God, the laws of God? They're going to just say, you know what? We're destroying all of it here. And so all the people are going, oh, that's terrible. I can't believe they would do this. We need to do something. How could he say things like this? This is disgusting. By the way, does this sound familiar at all? Again, people never change. We see that today all the time. When somebody is truly giving the Word of God, talking about sin in our lives, talking about needing a Redeemer, a Savior, a Messiah, what happens? People start to say, "You're speaking hate! Stop preaching such things!" We're not supposed to stop preaching the truth. And when we do not stop preaching the truth, people start to lie. They start to make things up. They say, "Well, that person's dangerous." And that's the same exact thing that's happening here. They say that Stephen, he is dangerous. That Jesus is going to do horrible things to the temple of God. Destroy the laws of God. And they're saying, "We have to stop this guy." Then we get to verse 15. And they're all just spilling out these lies at Stephen. And they're sitting in what's called the Sanhedrin. Or this is the Jewish courts. They're bringing up all of these accusations. They're demonizing Stephen. And what's Stephen doing? He's not arguing. He's not screaming at them. He's not calling them all liars. He says he's just sitting there. But it says his face is like the face of an angel. And this is something that we can see throughout the Bible multiple times. And every time we see it, it's somebody who is following God completely, and God is just shining through them. This shows that Stephen is with God, that he has God in him, that Stephen is a reflection of God's glory and presence. And it's amazing that Stephen is so synced up with the Lord. He's just saying, "Yeah, I'm going to follow you. You lead me. I won't speak till you tell me to speak. I'll just sit here and listen." In these moments of persecution and hate that's being poured out on him, he's sitting there and he's filled with God. But then we get to the next chapter, chapter 7. I'm going to tell you right now, go read it for yourself, please. It's a fantastic chapter, and it's something I want every single person to do, because we're not going to read through it all, because if so, it's going to add like an hour to the sermon. And some of you are like, "Yay!" And then the majority is like, "Stop, please." We're not going to do the whole thing, but I am going to summarize it for you. But it starts off chapter 7 with they ask Stephen, "Are these accusations against you true?" Like, it's time for you to speak. Let's see what you have to say. And Stephen does not answer yes or no, because we would normally just be like, "No, this is ridiculous. That's impossible. This is not what's happening." Instead, Stephen responds with the history of the Jews. Their own people. He talks about their champions of the faith. He starts with talking about Abraham and all the amazing things that God did through Abraham. And he gives us bits and pieces of the stories of God's promises. And then we get to Joseph, and he was sold into slavery, but God saw him and raised him into this position of power in Egypt. And then we get to hear about Moses, how he was born, taken in, and then he runs from God. And then he's brought back by a burning bush. And you might be asking, "What are you talking about?" You gotta read chapter 7, okay? It truly is amazing and awesome. And it's just a quick recap. And then I would say, if you really feel the pull, go back into the Old Testament and read these stories. Because they all happened. They are all true. And the people that Stephen was talking to, they knew this was true. They weren't going to argue with what he's saying. They're like, "Yes, we know it. This is our history. This is awesome." So anyways, then we have, he talks about Moses and how they go and free the Israelites from slavery. And then when the Israelites are traveling around, God meets with Moses on Mount Sinai. And that's where we get the commandments from God. And the people, they don't listen to Moses. They argue with Moses. They're angry with Moses. Then they don't follow God's commands. Things go bad. And I'm sure the Jews are like, "Yeah, that was a rough time for us. Yeah, that wasn't good." Like, they're agreeing. They know. They're sitting back saying, "Yeah, we seen that. Yeah, we know what happened. Oh, our ancestors, they're so silly, you know." And so Stephen then brings up David and the tabernacle, and that's when God was with them. But then Stephen brings up how God does not live in houses made by humans. He's like, "He's God. The earth is God's. He created it. The universe is God's. He is bigger and holier than anything that we can build here. You don't build an altar and go, well, this is where God is. No, okay? That's not just where God is. It's all His. And so Stephen's just letting them know all of these facts. And they're like, yeah, he's right. Now Stephen's getting somewhere. This is the good stuff. Totally, we agree with you. And they go, this is our history. But then at the end of his speech, Stephen says, oh, you stiff-necked people. You're just like your ancestors. You've always resisted the Holy Spirit. You've always resisted God. And then he says, is there a single prophet that God has sent to speak to you that you didn't persecute? Meaning that they always beat and kill those that God has sent. And they're probably thinking, yeah, we did do that. Yeah, that was bad. We had some struggles in our teens. You know, they're kind of looking back at their life and saying, yeah, we did some bad things. But then Stephen says, and guess what? You're doing it now. Those are some fighting words. Because they all just agreed. They look back and said, yep, that's our history. Yep, they made mistakes and we're doing it now. Nuh-uh. We are not. You're lying again. And so now there's no way that they can let this stand. And so let's read Acts 7, 54 through 60. Acts 7, 54 through 60. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. These people were so filled with rage at what Stephen was saying. They started to yell and they ran at Stephen. They drag him out of the city. And it says they started to stone him. They were throwing stones at him. And their goal is to kill him. And then all the while, it says, we have this young leader named Saul who's watching all of this happen. And he allows it, and he approves of what the people are doing. He says, this is good. This is from God. The Jewish leaders are saying this is what needs to happen. And as they are killing Stephen, we get to see something amazing. Stephen falls to his knees, and he says, Lord, do not hold the sin of my murder against these people. We see here in Stephen's last act, he shows the people love and compassion. But we need to understand what's really happening here. What's really happening is Stephen gets it. He truly understands what it means to be a follower of Christ. He knows his role. His role is to share the truth about who Jesus is and what Jesus lived for and what actions he took for us. He acted just like Jesus. Stephen is being murdered by these angry people. And what is he doing? He's showing them love. And he's asking God to forgive them and love them. This is so powerful. And it brings up all kinds of feelings in us. Some of us are going, thank God, that's awesome, that's amazing. And others are saying, I'm angry about this. How could God allow this to happen? Stephen didn't deserve this. Some people put ourselves in these situations and we may really say, well, if I was Stephen, what would I do? Most of us would go, nah, no, I'd have had to fight back. I'd have been like, all right, come at me. Who's first? Who wants to try and take me down? And then as they're throwing stones at you, maybe you're doing it like dodgeball, right? You're trying to get out of the way and you pick up another one, you toss it back at them. You have that thought process. I'm going to take a few of you with me, right? Like, that's what a lot of us are thinking. Well, if I'm going to go, well, I'm going to make sure you're going too. Or maybe you're the other way. And we just say, wow, Stephen, his death was worthless. There was no point. So he did these awesome things. He stood up for God. He told the truth. And what did that get him? What's the point? It ended up in his brutal death. And actually, I had somebody after first service say to me, well, I want to be Stephen, but I don't want to be stoned. Can you just shoot me? Okay. I said, modern times, modern problems. Okay. But it ended up in his death. But there are a couple things we have to understand with the death of Stephen. First and foremost is that God's in control. God knows all. God has a plan that we may not understand. And that requires us to put our faith in Him and Him alone, no matter what happens in our lives. But we also have to understand that God can be glorified through every situation, including the death of an innocent man. I know Jesus' death had so much meaning because it means our salvation from the things that we've done wrong against God. And you may be asking, but what glorification of God happened through Stephen's death? Because obviously Jesus was Jesus. So his death had this amazing meaning for all of us. But what does Stephen's death mean? Let's go ahead and just read Acts 8, verse 1, just the first part. It says, again, and Saul approved of their killing him. And Saul approved of this killing. The Jewish leader was there to witness it all. And he thought, this is great. And if you don't know this Saul, he will be talked about later as we keep going through Acts. This Saul, we also know him as Paul. This is the same Paul who wrote these letters of the New Testament that we read all the time here. The same Paul we see as this amazing man for God. But here, before he gives his life to Jesus, at Stephen's death, we see that Saul is saying, you know what? We need to stop all this. But I question, if Saul wasn't there and Stephen did not die this way, would Saul have had the same journey? You're going to tell me that as soon as Saul finds Jesus Christ and knows that it's true and real, that the death of Stephen did not stick with him? Of course it did. It had to. He's the one that stood back and they all threw their coats at his feet and he said, yes, do it. This is good. Of course it stuck with him. Would it have had the same effect, though, if Stephen went out swinging and killing people? I'm going to say probably not. What we see is that Stephen stood up and he said, I'm going to fight the good fight the way that Jesus fought the good fight. And it changed everything. Saul will be one of the biggest names that changed the world for Jesus. And he witnessed this man give his all. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we are to follow it. We are to give our all to follow Him. Truly, I will say, though, that the odds of even one of us dying for our faith is very low. Especially for us here in America, in this time that we live in. Now, it's not unheard of. It does happen. But the odds are very low. But I want you to know that if this is what is to happen, we should pray, may lives be changed towards following God. In my death, in my suffering, I pray that God is glorified And many people say, oh my goodness, he's real. This is the point of this life you have. This is the point of the church. This is the point of everything. It is to give God all the glory. That's it. And then we're supposed to point people to Him by living a life for Him. We have to live in step with the Holy Spirit inside of us. This is what brings me to the challenge for this week. Too often we look at Jesus and we say, well, yeah, He's Jesus. He's God. Of course He did these things. Then I want you to look at Stephen, a servant that wanted to follow Jesus with his all. And he did give his all. This week, I want you to realize that you have the same Holy Spirit who is God living inside of you. And that means there are no more excuses. He is strong. He is good. And He will lead you and give you the words to change the world. So knowing this, be bold and allow God to work through you. Be bold and walk in step with the Spirit. And when things get tough, keep being bold for God. Keep following the Holy Spirit's lead. And may God be glorified no matter what happens. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the Bible that tells us and shows us that we can follow You. Jesus obviously is the best example of what it looks like to live a life for You. But sometimes we get caught up in saying, well, I can't do that. But then we look at Stephen and we know he's just another man trying to follow You. I pray that this gives us encouragement. It makes us bold and that we can say, yes, Lord, I want to follow You with my life and may You be glorified through every single thing that happens. I pray when we leave here, we can go out, we can spread that news, and that we can live it completely for You. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen. So we're now going to have a time of invitation. And what that means is if you need to talk to somebody today, we'd love to talk to you. If that's knowing more about Jesus and you're saying, hey, I need to have some questions that I have answered, or you're saying, you know what, I feel like I'm kind of going through this life alone, or if you feel like you're suffering in silence, then we want to tell you we're here. We want to talk to you today.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.